Well, welcome to Local Matters, and good afternoon, everyone. We are delighted to have with us today two folks from Putnam County Schools who have made big announcements in this time on the plan for reopening. So, Melanie Bassell and Corby King, welcome. Thank you both for being with us. Corby, you're fairly new as director of schools, and wow, what a first year.
Thank you, Dr. Bell. It has been. It's been a bit of a roller coaster since the beginning of this school year, but I'm excited to be here. You know, this is home, and this is what I want to do, so very excited.
And Melanie, you play a lot of roles, but as student services supervisor, you're sort of a local expert in student health and coordinated student health. Certainly that's going to be part of our topic for today. But you've announced the reopening of Putnam County Schools. Just give us a big picture view of the big elements that are in that plan.
Sure. We released our plan at 3 o'clock this afternoon to reopen schools. We will be reopening with registration on July 30th. Our first full day of instruction will be Monday, August the 3rd. The overarching, theme here, families have a choice. You will have the opportunity to come to school in-person learning, or choose remote learning if that's what is best for your family at this time. And if you're in a family where there's a family member with a high-risk situation or a student with a high-risk health situation where it's not safe for you to be out in public or in schools right now, we would absolutely encourage you to choose the remote option, and it will be a good option for your family. But if not, and you're comfortable and you're ready to send your child back to school, then in-person learning is the way to go. It's not going to be a normal school day. There are a few things. The big one's mask. I see Dr. Bell smiling at me. The big issue here is mask. Students on buses will be required to wear masks. Teachers and students, when they're in hallways, commons areas, large groups, they will have to wear masks. When students are seated in their classrooms at their desk, they'll be able to remove their mask. A classroom setup will be more traditional, more like it was when Melanie and I were in school. All the desk facing forward in rows, looking to the front, not in the group setting, and the personalized learning seating capacities like what we've been moving to in the last few years, but very traditional with a seating chart in the classroom so that we do provide some distance between the desk. It's not going to be 6 feet. We know our classrooms aren't large enough for that, but we can provide some distancing between students when they're in the classroom. And as long as the teacher's at the front of the room when they're teaching, providing that overall class instruction, they would be able to remove their mask because they can't stay 6 feet away from the students. But then when a teacher comes over to assist a student in a one-on-one situation or a small group situation, then we encourage the teacher needs to put their mask back on, and the students with whom they're working need to put their mask back on. So those are the overwhelming, the big things that we're getting questioned about is are we going to be able to open? We're going to go every day. We're not phasing in our start. We're going to go per the school board approved calendar. We're not adjusting that right now, and we're hoping to be able to maintain that. If we do have to change our school opening, what we would prefer would be a transition to remote learning rather than a delayed start where all students would be learning online and then still be able to adhere to our school adopted calendar. Then families can plan for the breaks and when things like that are happening. So,
wow. In a nutshell, that's an impressive plan. I know you've spent thousands and thousands of committee hours talking about this with folks.
We have several teams and a lot of hours. You know, we started this plan way back in April with a return to school governance committee with 9 different subcommittees, and then there were subcommittees in the subcommittees. So lots and lots of people involved, supervisors, principals, teachers, health community, just lots of folks involved in formulating our plan and putting that together. And it's taken our whole team, and it's been really good teamwork over the entire summer to get to this point. So,
well, Melanie, what for a student coming back? They'll be wearing a mask. They'll
yes.
they'll um, they'll probably notice some other things. What will be the things they notice in the physical environment or in the just the way the school day rolls out?
I think they need to be prepared to have their temperature taken. We will be taking temps as they come in and just checking those and logging those and sending those to the school nurse. I think they'll notice that they're not going to be eating in the cafeteria right away. We're going to start off in eating in classrooms, trying to keep the large numbers down just until we can see exactly what's going on. I think they will, it will feel different to them because we've gone in such a move for teachers to do small groups and group kids together. So going back to that traditional, maybe a little transition for them, but to keep them safe, that's, I mean, I think that's the big things that they'll notice.
And people learned effectively in that environment for many years.
Absolutely.
So it can be done.
And Dr. Bell, one thing I want to point out too, it's going to be really important when we return, our students, our teachers and families as well, just to be nice to each other, to be kind. You know, if you disagree with a certain aspect of a plan, and there's some really strong feelings, just be kind.
Right.
You know, people are going to do the best that they can. When we roll this out, the teacher's doing the best they can. We know our plan's not perfect.
Right.
There are things that will have to be adjusted within the plan. We will do that. You know, we're going to be flexible. Families are going to need to be flexible and just work with us. If this is just a complete disaster, we'll back up and we'll try something else.
Well, and it may be, or things may change in the world
absolutely.
Over the next few months. But I was watching an infectious disease panel yesterday, all of them infectious disease experts all over the United States, all had children, school-age children, and to a person, they said, I am sending my child back to school.
Yes.
So they're not afraid of the environment. They're cautious, but they're not afraid of the environment.
And that's the direction that we want to go to. Cautious, but we need to move back. We know, as educators, we know in-person learning is best. We know it's what our students need. We know that's what our teachers need. We know it's what our families need. They need that consistency. The American Academy of Pediatrics coming out with a statement that even if you can't fully social distance, it is still better to be in person, to do what you can to be in school and be in person. And that's what we're looking to do is provide that avenue for our students.
And I know, and I'm one of these guys, so the Chamber of Commerce and other groups have senior role models come into schools and speak occasionally. And so are you going to let these at-risk seniors come into the school and speak?
We're going to limit guests.
I thought so.
Necessary, only if it's necessary for you to come in. But if you come in as a guest, you will be required to wear a mask. And that will be the same for our parents and visitors. If you're just coming in, signing your child in who's running behind, or you're running to a doctor's appointment and coming back, or you're checking your child out and leaving, you'll be able to do that rather quickly. But if you're coming in for a meeting where you're going to be there at any length at all, then there's a series of questions for parents and a temperature check for parents. And mask will be required for parents, just like it would be for the staff members who are in the room with them. So, again, not a completely normal school day. They're just things that we're going to have to do if we're going to be open and return. And that's what we're going to do.
This is Education Matters, Local Matters, and we are talking to Corby King and Melanie Bassell about the reopening of Putnam County Schools. And Corby, I know just, again, thousands of hours of planning have gone into this, and many, many folks have been involved. Will the school day go like it has primarily from 8 to 3, just on a normal schedule?
Yes, sir. We're not planning to alter our schedule. I mean, it's what our families are accustomed to. A lot of work schedules are set around our school calendar. Families, you know, they depend on us. And I don't want to at all make it sound like we're there for childcare, but families work, and
no
we are, and
about
they
it.
Do have to rely on some consistency and reliability and that scheduling. And so, yes, we plan to maintain the same schedule that we typically adhere to, the 8 to 3. You know, we have families that begin dropping off 7:15, 7:30, and picking up at, you know, 3:15 and 3:30, and we're going to continue to do that.
And many students in Putnam County and in other counties are free lunch kinds of students. Mm-hmm. What's happening? You said lunch will be in the classroom, but is it basically still the same structure?
Yes, sir, it is. And we've still, you know, the cafeteria managers and the administrators at the school and the teachers are still kind of working the logistics out. That's going to be a challenge for us. Also working with the cleaning service as far as collecting the trash after lunch, coming by the classrooms to remove the trash and the extra cleaning that would be required. But tracking the meal cost and students who are paying and depositing money into their meal accounts for those who pay, those who are free and reduced, we have to track that for federal guidelines. So we have to make sure that we do those things correctly in order to receive the money for those meals. So that is a big piece of the school day. And the cafeteria managers at each individual school is working. A larger school, it'll look a little different than it will in a smaller school. So it's not just a blanket, this is what we're doing, other than, you know, the meals will be classrooms or small groups.
But cafeteria time is another specific thing that I think some of our kids have been missing.
Oh, absolutely.
They relied on
that. No question about
that.
Well, this sounds like a comprehensive, well-thought-out plan. We're going to take a quick break and then come back, and we'll talk about some of the specifics in it and anything else you want to share with our listening audience. This is Local Matters. We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Corby King and Melanie Bissell about Putnam County Schools reopening, a really important educational topic here in the Upper Cumberland and here in Putnam County. And Corby, you've outlined basically a return. It won't be a return to normal,
correct,
but a five-day-a-week school week. With 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. as sort of the standard operating procedure. So
yes, sir,
it will feel normal in some ways.
There are some things that it will. You know, it is a return to school plan, but not return to normal school as we know it.
Yeah.
We can't, as much as I know many people would like to just kind of rip that Band-Aid and move on, we just can't do that.
Nope.
But we are going to try to provide some consistency for our students and our families.
So. And I know your plan considers things like facilities and cleanliness and school buses and cleanliness there. So talk a little bit about the safety issues in the facility and in the buses.
Sure. And we've outlined in the plan how often the expectation for some of the cleanliness, a lot of it's stuff that is in the plan. It's just that, in talking with our principals, it's making sure that we're on top of our cleaning service, that those things are happening, that we're sanitizing those touch points as often as we should be. We have bought an electrostatic mister and e-mister. I've learned more about those in the last week than I ever thought I would need to know. But we have bought one of those for every school, a couple for our larger schools, especially our high schools, and then one for the high school athletic programs as well. So several times a day we can go through and we can do the e-misting in classrooms and commons areas, which is supposed to kill any germs that lands on anything, what the cleaning stuff they put in that, and it just needs 10 minutes to dry. You go through when the room's empty, you can cover a room in less than 5 minutes, let it dry for 10, and then it's safe to occupy again. And,
wow,
and whatever that cleaning solvent is supposed to get rid of all germs, but especially COVID. So
great. Well, that's a big step forward. And yeah. Schools have nurses and other medical support.
So I'll let Melanie talk about the nurses a little bit. Yeah. But we've been very fortunate, the county commission and school board working together in the last several years. We have a full-time nurse now in all of our schools, which is huge for us. to help us monitor and work through when a student needs to be home or when not. And that's going to be a very important thing for families this year. So I was going to let Melanie talk and I'm saying
rambling. You're good. You got it.
But let our families, you know, just if your child is sick, if they're running a fever, you know, they need to stay home. You know, and I know in years past we've had situations, you know, child gets up and they got a little low grade temp and you know it's just sinus drainage, give them some Tylenol and send them to school and then it'll be better by lunch. We really can't do that now. If the child has a fever, we really need you to keep them home and just have a backup plan for child care. But Melanie, I'll let you talk for a minute.
Sure. So basically the temps will be taken by teachers and then the information will be sent to nurses. If a kid is showing symptoms, then they'll be sent to the nurse, but there'll be an isolation. So all schools will have an isolation room. They're not going to be sent to the main clinic where our normal daily meds are going to be given out.
Right.
If it gets busy, the nurse will maintain in the isolation room, and we have medication designees in our county who have been trained that can give the other medications in the clinic. So all of that will be kept separate. And teachers just need to, if they're not sure. And we did say if a kid tests with a positive temp of over 100, we would send to the nurse first. We're not just going to go off that one temperature. There will be a second temperature taken with a different device, making sure that it was a correct reading. So it's not going to be the first thing and you're automatically going home. I mean, we're going to assess the situation. We're going to try to keep everybody at school, but we have to be safe as well.
We have to be safe. And I know, especially for the younger kids, there'll be a little bit of tension and embarrassment there when they get sent out for the temperature check. But in the environment we're in, they've seen that all summer long.
And, you know, we're using the infrared forehead thermometers. So we also know there's a possibility in the classroom, especially if they've just come in from outside and they've been running, that there might be a little hot. So, you know, allowing some time to go to the nurse and let's just make sure that our thermometer is reading accurately too. We're not just going to jump and call mom or dad. Hey, you've got to come pick them up. We want to make sure they have that fever when we send them home.
Well, it's going to be really important that parents have an important role to play in all of this.
Absolutely. You know, parents are going to have help and support in any school year from our families. But this year especially, encouraging your students to wear the mask when they need to tell you when they don't feel good, if they're sick. But then when they're home, especially if they're there for any period of time, making sure that they're participating remotely with their teacher. And we do have remote learning teams. And we have different programs that we don't need to confuse. There's that remote learning that if Melanie decided she was going to be a remote learner and that's just what she's doing and how she's going to school all the time,
year. That's
what she does. But if I get sick and I'm home for 3 or 4 days, well, that's a different type learning situation, but there's still things I can do online. There's still things I can do so I don't get behind and I'm still keeping up with my class, especially if it's in a COVID situation where I might have to quarantine for 10 to 14 days.
Right.
I can still do schoolwork. And if I'm truly sick for a few days, what I hear, you know, from those who have who've been affected with COVID, there'll be a few days when they wouldn't feel like doing anything. We get that. But then there's a large period of that quarantine when they feel fine and they would be able to keep up with their schoolwork. So they can do that remotely. And we have teachers and teams that are there to help parents and the students connect and make sure that you're keeping up. Parents and students learning Google Classroom, that's going to be big this year. That's going to be our learning management system. It will be through Google Classroom. There will be some information sent to families so that if you're at home and you want to know what your child's doing in school, at any time you can log into their Google Classroom and see what the teacher, they're posting assignments and information in that platform.
And Putnam County's been on the leading edge on Google Classroom and actually rolled it out faster than a lot of counties.
We have very fortunate, you know, through our personalized learning team. That was the foresight of Mr. Boyd from the last several years. And Sam Brooks, I know, with the Vital and his team, we were in a good position in the spring to move to some of the remote learning ahead of other systems. But we've really learned a lot in that time in the spring. And we've made lots of improvements. We've come a long way. But our teachers that were not as comfortable in that setting have now also gotten comfortable. And it's been fun this summer to kind of watch and see our teachers participating, becoming Google certified educators and learning to do so many things in that platform just to provide opportunities for students. So there will be a lot of time in the first couple of weeks of school with teachers and students working together in person. If we have to go remote, if you have to go remote, here's where you find your assignment. Here's how you know what we're doing in class. And here's how you submit assignments back so that I can grade and get those back to you.
And I know in remote learning situation, there was a term we used to use in accreditation visits called assurance of learning. Mm-hmm. And if someone is out for a long period or stays the year in a remote learning situation, there still are standards at the state level and at the local level that ensure assurance of learning on the core topics, correct?
That's correct. And that's one of the big differences in what we're doing than what you would think a homeschool situation might be. We do have several assurances that we have to just bars that we have to hit. And this part, we have to do a continuity of learning plan for the State Department as part of this remote. If we are in a closed situation, but we're using remote as one of our 180 days of instruction, we have to be able to explain how we're monitoring that students are logging in, how they're submitting work, how they're getting feedback, how the teachers are interacting with students, just to make sure that those things are happening as they should in order for students to receive credit for the work they're doing.
We even had to go back and track last year's from when mm-hmm. we closed until the end to give data to the state of how many times a teacher spoke to a child or checked on a child. So there's a lot of data to that.
Well, that's good, and it will help the child and help the parents that are guiding that child at the home to have some of that structure yes. on there. Well, let's talk about some of the other heroes in the system. Boy, teachers are going to have a different environment this year than they've seen in a while.
You know they are, Dr. Bell, and what I'm encouraging our teachers, and I know there's, you know, I sent a message to them today, and I said, you know, typically we have this excitement and some anxiety with the beginning of a year, but this year's a lot of trepidation as well. And I know teachers are nervous, but, you know, they've got this. Our teachers are they're great, and they yep. can do this. I know they can. They're going to come in and hit the ground running, and they will make this work for their students, and we know that. I want the teachers and the students both just to, you know, have fun. When we're teaching, when we're in school, when we're engaging, let's look at grade level learning, but let's have fun in doing that. A lot of teachers get caught up in the education stuff, the testing and the data and things. We're not worried about that this year. Regardless of what the state does, our focus is just going to be when we have students and when we're engaging, let's make sure that we're doing grade level learning, but let's have fun while we're doing it, whether that's remote or in person.
They're going to have challenges, but yes. As you say, this can be a whole new learning environment for the teacher and the student.
And it can be exciting, especially for you know some of the teachers. That was fun back in the spring, too. Some of the teachers who have been around a few years that maybe had gotten a little bit, things had gotten a little bit stale, all of a sudden kind of found a new excitement. Like, hey, wait, you know, this is something fun for me to learn, too, and provide a new way for, and the connections that teachers were making with families. They got to know students and their families much better than they did in a traditional environment just because moms and dads were logging on in the Zoom class meetings and talking
moms
with teachers.
Moms and dads have been using Zoom and Team and things right. like that so here in the last few months,
things.
Too.
And they were doing home visits, dropping off devices, picking up devices.
That's
so relationships
great.
Were built with families, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And they're talented. This is a very talented group of teachers in this county.
It is.
Very talented.
We are blessed with the teachers in this county. Well, we've got just a little bit longer. I know this next topic, you've got some external constraints, but whatever TSSAA says, what's going to happen with sports this year?
Your guess is as good as mine. Really, it's really whatever TSSAA says and what's allowed. Right now, it's still, they released a new document today saying the same thing that it said last week. Non-contact sports can't be having contact right now. You can condition. You can continue to move forward with just your drills and workouts, things like that. You just can't have any contact, and who knows where it's going to go from there. I know a lot of people are hoping and pushing to have football, basketball, baseball, softball, you know, the things that have not been approved, soccer, the things that haven't been approved yet. Hopefully we'll get there.
Yeah, I know everybody's hoping for it. I think they also understand the risks
athletics
that are associated with
such
that.
Such a huge part of the lives for our students and those that participate.
And other it extracurricular
all,
student
right, not
clubs.
Just athletics, all extracurriculars. Yep. That's vital to our success in education for students.
Yeah, my granddaughter is going to be a student council member at All Good Middle this year. And I said, boy, you're going to make history.
Yes.
It is going to be a unique year.
Yes,
well,
absolutely.
We have been talking to Corby King and Melanie Bissell. And I can't thank you enough for coming on and being with us. more importantly, just for all the hard work you've done in the past few months to get Putnam County Schools ready for this great new year. It's going to be different, but it's still going to be fun and a great learning experience for all the kids. Sure.
Thank you, Dr. Bell. Thanks for helping us continue to get our message out in the community. We appreciate that.
And we'll get you back soon to see how it's going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being here.